Take your Bibles this morning, please, and turn to the book of 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, it's toward the end of your Bible, for the book of Revelation, Jude, Revelation. 1 John chapter 4. We're going to read verses 16 and 17 this morning. I'll read aloud as you read along silently. That's 1 John chapter 4, verses 16 and 17. As you're finding your place, please stand to your feet if you're able this morning in honor of the Word of God as we read the Word of God together. 1 John chapter 4, beginning at verse 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. Let's pray together. Father, thank you so much for your love. Thank you for what you've done for us. I pray, Father, that as we hear our pastor this morning, we'll have our hearts open so we'll hear what you have for us this morning, because you do love us. So please do a work in our lives today, here in this room, on the internet. And Father, if there's someone in this room or on the internet that does not know that love of God, does not know Jesus as their Savior, I pray they'd settle it today. Empower our pastor for this task ahead. We ask in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated.
Now, as you're being seated, I ask that you sit up real straight and listen very carefully for a few moments. Lord's Supper always kind of shortens our morning service, so I've got to hurry up and be finished in 13 minutes. It's not going to happen, but I want to hurry up and try. Let's give it a shot. What do you say? Now listen very carefully this morning. You know, there's a difference between what we know and what we believe. There's a difference. What we know and what we believe. What we know is what we understand. What we believe is when we make it personal. Example. And years ago, there was this man who was a daredevil type. His name was Blondin, and he would do all kinds of different crazy things. I never quite understood the daredevil principle. I drive cars and stuff, but other than that, he would take a wheelbarrow full of rocks, stretch a rope across Niagara Falls, and then walk across Niagara Falls pushing the wheelbarrow on that rope, over and then back. And crowds would come to watch. They don't watch the man walking across Niagara Falls. They watch to see if he's going to fall off the rope into Niagara Falls, right? Most people don't watch car races for car races. They watch it for the wrecks. Most people watch hockey games for the fist fights, not the goals. I mean, let's get real for a moment. But the truth is, so this man Blondin one day did this, loaded up a wheelbarrow with a bunch of rocks in it, strung a rope across Niagara Falls, pushed the wheelbarrow across Niagara Falls, over the other side, turned right around, pushed it right back across, walking on the rope, pushing the wheelbarrow as he went. When he got to the other side, he dumped the rocks out and said, "Now, how many of you believe I could do that again?" "We believe you can. We believe you can." He said, "Good. How many of you would get in the wheelbarrow and let me push you across?" Nobody volunteered. What you know and what you believe. Well, they knew he could do it, but they didn't believe they could get in the wheelbarrow and he could push them across the Niagara Falls on a rope. What you know and what you believe. Now, look at 1 John chapter 4 this morning, again in our verse, at verse number 16. It says this, "And we have known and believe the love that God has to us." Question, do you know that God loves you this morning? Do you know that? We should know it, because he's told us he loved us. "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Good news. God loves you, my friend. He told you. God does not say something and not mean it. God keeps his promises. If God says it's so, it's so. And God says he loves you. But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. God's told us he loved us. So we know that. And my soul, the promises, the many promises in his word where he's told us that he loves us. This book of 1 John, especially this fourth chapter, deals a great deal with about the God, love of God and our love of him. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God, and knoweth God, for God is love. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. He emphasizes this business about his love for us. So we know that, right? We do know that. Okay, but verse 16 in 1 John says this, and we have known and believed. Wait a minute. When you believe it, then you make it personal. We know that God loves us. Do you believe he loves you? Two things brought me to my salvation as a 9-year-old boy. Number one, the fear of going to hell when I died. I'm thankful for pastors, preachers, and people who were very clear that a person's options when they die are two. Number one, you go to heaven if you're saved. Number two, you go to hell if you're not. And as a 9-year-old boy, I realized I was lost in going to hell without Christ. And I had a fear of hell, and that's one thing that led me to my salvation. Number two was the love of God. You say, well, Pastor Johnson, those seem like two extremes. I know that. But see, when a Sunday school teacher first told me that God loved me, I just couldn't believe it. Now, being in a drunkard's home, growing up in a drunkard's home and being beat as a child and things like that, look at me. It wasn't that I had problems with God. It wasn't that I was mad at God. Now, sit up, young people. Sit up. Don't slouch over. Sit up, please. It wasn't that I was mad at God. Here's the deal. I just couldn't believe that God knew who I was and even cared about me. And it wasn't because I had troubles in my childhood. It wasn't because I had a tough childhood. Ladies and gentlemen, I was taken back by the fact that God loved me. I still remember it as a boy in Sunday school class when the teacher said that and then made sure we each and every one of those little boys in that classroom understood that God loved you. God loves you, young man. God loves you. Hey, look at me. God loves you. See, to know it is one thing. To believe it makes it personal. And it just absolutely crushed my heart. Not bad, good. The Bible says the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance. I realized God loved me. I thought, that's amazing. That's incredible. That was a 9-year-old boy, and I realized God loved me. And it was the fear of hell and the love of God that brought me to my salvation. And did you know something, ladies and gentlemen? I'm 64 years old now, however many years that is. I don't have a calculator, so I have no idea. But a long time since that 9-year-old boy first learned that God loved him. Do you know something? I still am amazed that God loves me. I'm just amazed. 7.6 billion people on this planet. Somewhere in the next year and a half, the world is going to reach 8 billion in population. Do you realize that God loves each and every individual? Every individual on this planet, God loves them one at a time. And guess what? You are one of them. To know that God loves you. Whew, that's amazing. To know that God loves me. You see, it means my life's not ever going to be the same now. No one ever has to feel lonely. God loves you. No one ever has to feel forsaken. God loves you. No one ever has to believe or think that there no one cares about them in this world. God loves you. Say, yeah, well, that's fine. It's like the little girl who went to Sunday school and came home, and she said, Mom said, what'd you learn today? And she said, well, Mama, I learned that God loves me. And she said, that's good to know. The little girl said, yeah, but Mama, I need someone with skin on them to tell me that. Well, God doesn't have skin on them, so I can't give you that part. But I'm going to tell you something this morning, friend. You must know and believe and understand today that there is the God of heaven, the all-powerful, almighty creator of this universe, listen, who has a particular care and love for you. And that's what captured my heart as a boy. You don't really think a drunken stepfather who beats you loves you. He doesn't. You don't think of people who dumped you and left you in your childhood as people who loved you. They didn't. But God does. And ever since that time, honestly, the love of God still captures my heart. It does something to me in my life. So could we do this morning? Could we do more than just know that God loves us? Could we believe it, make it personal? God loves you. Number one, don't doubt that. Yeah, but see, if somebody did something to me once, and I don't know, that has what people do or don't do. I know people who loved me, and they lied to me, and they broke my heart, and they failed me. And so I can't answer for what people are today. I can tell you this, there is a holy, righteous, pure God who has never failed, never has, never will, who loves you. And you never have to doubt God loves you this morning. You never have to doubt that. You never have to wonder if he loves you. You never have to question whether or not he loves you. Don't doubt it, my friend. God loves you. Don't doubt it. Number two on that thing. Don't doubt God loves you because of what he allows in your life. Well, if he loved me, I wouldn't have had that happen to me in my childhood. See, as a teenager, I struggled with some things about between me and God. I mean, if there really was this loving God. As a 9-year-old boy, when I heard it, I was convinced. But as a teenager, I got really smart. Now, not like these young people over here. They're very intelligent. You can tell by the look on their face. But as a teenager, I got to thinking about it, and I thought, wait a minute. If God really does love me, then what is this deal with the drunk stepfather who used to come in the middle of the night and jerk us up out of bed and slap us around, curse at us? What about that? Hey, what about a Baptist preacher, Daddy Ramph, with some woman in the church, and my brother turned to drink, became a drunkard? If he really does love me, why did all that happen to me as a child? And I began as a teenager to question what I was so readily to embrace as a boy. Well, if there really is a loving God in heaven, then why are there Parkland shootings? If there really is a loving God in heaven, then why is there suffering? And if there really is a loving God in heaven, then why are there so many problems and heartaches and sorrows? And why, if there really is a loving God in heaven? Now, first of all, let me help you with something. Number one, if you don't give him credit for all the good that happens in this world, don't blame him for all the bad. Okay? Because that's like super hypocritical. And look at me. All these critics and negative people about God and want to blame him because he's a loving God and let sorrow. They don't want to give him credit for the good and the blessings and the help. And they don't give him credit for that part. See, that's hypocritical. If you're going to try to blame him for everything that happens, then you give him credit for the good in life. You give him credit for health and life and blessings and mercies and grace. You give him credit for the good. Okay, I'll do that. Then I want to know how come a loving God would let all the sorrow in the world. Because a loving God didn't do that. Sinful man brought that into this world. Blame the people who did it. By the way, don't blame the gun who shot somebody. Blame the idiot who's behind the gun. That's where it needs to start and that's where it needs to stop. The truth of the matter is, dear people, see, I'm not going to doubt the loving God of heaven. I'm not going to doubt him. I settled that as a teenage boy when I came to understand something. I cannot hold God accountable for the failures of human beings and people in their life. It's not my fault. Jesse, sit up, kid. Jesse, sit up, please. I can't blame God for that. I can't do it. Hear me? God didn't stop loving me because problems came into my life. God didn't stop loving me because I buried loved ones. God didn't stop loving me because I had friends and loved ones who died of cancer. God didn't stop loving me because we buried grandchild. God didn't stop loving me because I have heartaches and sorrows. Look at me. God didn't stop loving me when he stepped into my life and stopped me from doing something I shouldn't do. That was a loving God who did that. Don't doubt that he loves you. Here's what we do. Hey, we qualify and quantify the love of God based on human experience. Well, because of what they did, they obviously don't love me. I can't answer for that person. I can tell you this. There's a holy, righteous God in heaven who never makes a mistake. Don't doubt the fact that he loves you. Number next on the love of God is get this part this morning. Don't disparage it. You know what that means? Look here. Why would you want to hurt the one who loves you? Why? I've had couples sit in my office and one has wronged the other one in some moral issue or something else. And the one who's been hurt, I see the look on their face and it to be honest with you, I wish I could just capture that look and put it on the face of every person before they go do something wrong. And and say, you want them to hurt like this? You want to break their heart like this? No. I think my soul. And then the one who's been wrong will say, but I love you. Why did you do that to me? But I love you. Why would you do that to me in my life? There's no answer for that. Ladies and gentlemen, there is the God of heaven who loves you purely, perfectly. You realize the love of God is totally different than anything we're used to. God loves you without return or response. You don't have to love him back. He'll love you anyhow. That's amazing in itself. That's great love. That's pure love. That's the right kind of love. In one of these verses, it talks about perfect love. You want to talk about perfect love? I'll talk about a love that doesn't have to be loved in return, doesn't expect a response, and doesn't even need it. Just loves you because they love you. That's our God. Why would you want to hurt him like that by doing something you shouldn't? Why? Grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you're sealed until the day of redemption, the Bible says. The grieving means to break his heart. But why? Why take something with my hands I'm not supposed to take, knowing it's going to hurt the God who loves me? But why? Why do something with my, say words with my mouth that I know is going to break his heart? Why? Why take a path with my feet that I know is going to break his heart? But why? Because you know the God, see, ladies and gentlemen, the God of heaven cares about you so much that when you do something that you shouldn't, he'll still love you. But it breaks his heart. I got out of the will of God for 10 years of my life when I got right with the Lord and started getting my thinking right. See, when a person's in sin in their life, I heard a preacher say years ago, when you get so far into sin, you almost become insane. That doesn't mean you walk around with spit running down your face. It means you don't even have a right mind about anything. And when I got my heart right with the Lord after 10 years out of the will of God, and I started to get back into the Bible and church and doing the things I was supposed to do, you know what got me? What got me was not only that I wasted 10 years of my life, and it was a waste. What got me more than anything else was this. I broke his heart. See, I knew what that was like when my dad left us. Not once, but twice. Found out that he dumped us the second time when we were kids and we were living with him and his second wife. And he was a Baptist preacher, but he wasn't pastoring anymore. But he would still marry people on weekends and different things like that. And one day I went out to the garage and there he was in our little white Falcon station wagon. And he was loading books and clothes and all kinds of stuff in there. I thought, that's kind of strange. I said, Dad, what are you doing? He said, well, I'm just going somewhere for a while, son. See you later. And he got in the car and drove off. I had no idea he left us. Later on that day, I heard my stepmother talking on the phone. My grandparents lived a few miles away, and I heard her say, come and get these kids out of my house. I don't want to see them anymore. And I thought, uh-oh. And my grandparents showed up. They walked in the house and said, Michael, Bud, you guys get your clothes, pack up, we're leaving. And then my stepmother just laid us out about our dad and his life and what he did. She and my grandmother got into it. The whole time I was packing my little suitcase to leave the house, I thought to myself, he did it again. And he didn't even say, well, son, I got to go. Now, wait a minute. Look at me. Before you think this is going to break into some kind of Oprah session, look at me just a moment. That's what we do to God. That's what we do to him. When we choose sin over right. That's what we do to him when we choose to do wrong. Shame on us! Shame on us! We know the God of love of God and we believe the love of God, and then we turn around and do things that we're not supposed to do. You're breaking his heart. Well, then he'll stop loving me. No, he doesn't love you like people love you. God loves you like God loves you. He'll love you all the way to the hog pen. He'll love you all the way to the pit. He'll love you all the way to the bottom rung of life. He'll love you all the way to the depths of soul of life. He'll love you all the way down, my friend, and he'll love you all the way back up. What an amazing God. Why would you want to disparage him? Why would you want to break his heart? Oh, we know that God loves us. Oh, yes, we do. You believe it? Then the love of God, my friend, should make a difference in what I do. Why would I want to take something and do something that just breaks his heart? You know, the love of God is something else you need to know and believe, and that is you don't decline it, which means this. You learn to love people the way God loves you. Look here. We got this kind of love's about that deep and about 2 miles wide. I love you. I hate you. You're my friend. No, you're not my friend. We love like people love. We love like the world loves. You know, they're in and out of relationships so fast, I don't even know why they even live together anymore. What's the point? They're not even going to stay together long enough to even get the clothes out of the baskets and out of the suitcases, because that's the way the world loves. Hey, just like that. One minute they love you, and the next minute they can't stand you. That's the world. Amazing. But you know what, ladies and gentlemen? Here's the problem. You love people like God loves people, they'll probably hurt you before it's over. Won't they? Huh? Yeah, you'll get your heart broken like God's heart's broken. Won't you? Won't you? But excuse me. Love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. Then he goes on in this chapter to tell us that that's how we're supposed to love each other. Well, I don't think you got to love people that hurt you. Do you mean like God does? Well, I love them, but if they ever do anything wrong, you mean like God doesn't do? See, we think we're supposed to be the benefactors of love. We love them, they love us back, and that's what they're there for us. I hate that expression. I think I've got the place where I don't even want to hear it anymore, and I'll never say it again the rest of my life. We'll always be there for you. No one's always going to be there for you. Nobody is. You hear me? Nobody. Then you have God, my friend, who has always been there for you, will always be there. He's the only one. And he didn't stop loving you because you weren't lovable. He loved you anyhow. So don't decline that kind of love when you get the opportunity to love somebody the right way. Hey? Hey? You love them with the love God's loved you with. The process in 1 John is this. God loves me. Look, then I love him. Then I love you with his love. And lastly, here's what you know and need to believe about the love of God. You need to declare that. You know, people need to know that God loves them. This week in the news, they were talking to a lady who worked in a counter at a school back east. A man walked in with a rifle, and he was going to do one of those mass shooting horrible things. She was actually able to talk him out of it. Now, myself personally, I don't think that's the way you ought to handle it, but she did it, and it worked for her. And you know what she told this mixed up guy? She said, I want you to know I love you. And for some reason, that did it for him. He put his gun down, dropped his ammo in his backpack, got on the floor, and let the police come and get him. And no one got shot because she told him that she loved him, and she told him that God loved him. Now, myself personally, I prefer a Glock 9, but whatever the case may be, people need to know that God loves them. I told you about our visits over in Egypt in the Middle East, seeing Muslims who came to Christ. Every one of them had the testimony that what brought them to Christ was that God loved them. Amazing. I thought, well, that's what brought me to the Lord. That God loved me. God loves you. Declare it. You know how you tell them about Christ and salvation? You tell them John 3:16. For God so loved them. You tell them that. You tell them God loved them so much he sent his son Jesus to die on the cross for their sins and pay for their salvation with his death and rose from the grave. And they must put their faith and trust in Christ and ask him to save them. Tell them that God loves you, my friend. God loves you and wants you to know salvation. God loves you and wants you to know there's a way to heaven. God loves you and wants you to hear that. Go, tell the world, tell the whole world today that's dying for a real kind of love to let them know that the love of God is pure. It's not in our hymn book, and I don't know why they didn't put that song in there. It's simply called The Love of God. A Christian young man was writing that song. But the third verse, he always, like most Baptists, he thought that every hymn's supposed to have at least three verses. Though if there's four, we never sing the third one. That's another subject. He had written the first two verses of the love of God. How rich and pure, how measureless and strong. It shall forevermore endure, the saints and angels' song. Couldn't get that third verse. He was visiting with his church in an asylum, a sane asylum for people. And as he walked down the hallway, he scrabbled on the wall. One of the inmates in that insane asylum, in a moment of lucidity, wrote on the wall, could we with ink the oceans fill? And were the skies of parchment made? Were every stalk on earth a quill and every man a scribe by trade? To write the love of God above would drain the oceans dry. Nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. He took out a little piece of paper and he scribbled that down. That's the third verse of that great hymn. Do you know God loves you this morning? Do you believe He loves you? Let's stand our feet, please, this morning.